Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This week we begin the sometimes daunting journey of Lent. Journeys can be sometimes long and arduous. Many times Ann and I have driven back to South Dakota to visit relatives. There's that long drive up the Columbia River. There's that drive across the barrenness of central Washington, through the mountains of Idaho and Montana, and then across the Great Divide and down into the rolling hills of southeastern Montana. And then we travel through the almost nothingness of Wyoming, where there's not much besides sagebrush and rocks. And we go around the north side of the Black Hills of South Dakota and finally get out into the plains of that state that seems quite long when you drive across it. But we finally reach our destination. Journeys in this life can be kind of long sometimes too. I remember when our daughter Carrie Ann started grade school, I thought to myself, this kid is going to be in school forever. But then I look back now and it was only 12 years. But it was a life journey that took more time than I thought it should. But looking back, it hardly took any time at all. So it is with the journey of Lent. It can seem long and arduous sometimes as well. Days this time of the year are gray and damp. Spring seems like it's a long way off. We still live in a broken world that is hard to understand and accept sometimes. The Middle East teeters on war. Refugees flee Syria and North Africa. Here in this country, we are beginning the process of electing a president, and that sometimes is a long and arduous journey as well, particularly when you consider that the gap between the conservatives and the liberals tends to get wider and deeper each year. And then our lives are certainly not perfect either. We all suffer from some health problems. We have relatives that cause us grief. We lose loved ones in death. And the stock market is not doing well, and so that may challenge the retirement for some of you. How will we ever wake up on Sunday morning, March 22nd, and find the true joy of Easter? Will we be able to say and joyfully proclaim, "He is risen indeed"? That poses some difficult questions. And as I look at the psalm for today, Psalm 91, I think there may be some answers there for us. And so that's what I would like to talk about today, is that psalm. If you'd like to follow along with me, the psalms are in the very front part of the Lutheran hymnal, and they're numbered in numerical order. There are no page numbers per se, but only numbers of psalms. That psalm, 91, describes the confidence that we can have through the dangers and the challenges of this life. In it, God speaks to us, his faithful people. It addresses our situation today fairly specifically, and it gives us words that we can all say in times of difficulty. And so follow along with me as I read the first two verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We just sang, "A mighty fortress is our God." That's a Reformation hymn that we sing not in February, but usually in October. And so it may have seemed a little odd as a Lenten hymn. But it's a reminder that we Christians are never alone. We never fly solo. God is with us and will be with us through Lent and through the rest of the year as well. Our strength, our confidence, our ability to persevere always comes from God. We are not relying upon our own strength, but on God's strength to keep us. The problem is our broken world would have the wrong priorities. It would lead us astray and away from God's word. We're distracted by the busyness of this life. The world would call us to focus on earthly concerns. And it calls us to store up earthly treasures and not the treasures in heaven that Jesus talked about in the New Testament. This psalm reminds us that what's most important is what we are. We are all children of God. We are the people who receive his body and his blood and his forgiveness at this altar. We are the sheep of his flock, and he knows us all by name. We are his children. And when we pray, he listens and answers those prayers. We are baptized, and in that baptism we receive God's forgiveness and his promises to love and cherish and to protect us. Today we baptize Jaylin. And in that baptism, she will become a child of God. And through the power of the water and the word, the Holy Spirit will be placed in her. And she will become and always be a child of God. Continuing with verse 3. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness and his shield are a buckler. A couple explanations might help there. That term, the snare of the fowler, is a metaphor for the dangers that we face in this world. And a pinion is a bird's outer flight wings. And a buckler is a shield that is worn on the arm. And so someone who fights with a sword might have a shield here and their sword here. God is this shield and who protects us. Going on with verse 5, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Pestilence and destruction are diseases that God casts upon those who do not follow him and his unfaithful people. From this we can see what God does for us and how he protects us. We are mostly helpless little birds in a big and dangerous world. There are those who would catch us and devour us. There are temptations aplenty in this world, too many of which we succumb. But Jesus has not only conquered those who tempt us here, but he has also conquered death, our bitterest and final enemy in this life. But even on our last day, God covers us with his wings and protects us from Satan's power. The world in its threats need not intimidate us. We just sang these words, were our enemies to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. And going on to verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but the pestilence and destruction will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the compensation earned by the wicked. This sounds like we might really be in battle, like we might be under attack. Certainly this journey of life is not and has not and will not be a simple and easy thing. And the psalmist here is certainly not promising us an easy victory here on earth. Those who would harm us and cause us hurt will simply not just melt away before us. And yes, at some point, each one of us will die. But because we have been baptized into Christ's death, we will rise again, and our victory will come on the day that we enter heaven. The psalmist goes on to say that we will see God punish the wicked and the unbelievers and watch them receive their just compensation. Continuing with verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. This is the verse that Satan quotes in the gospel lesson for today when he sets Jesus on the temple mount, the top of the temple, and says, it's okay to jump down because the angels will capture you, and they will catch you and take you down safely to the ground. Can you imagine if Jesus would have succumbed to that temptation? The gossip would have sounded something like that. Did you hear? A man jumped from the temple today, from the very top, and angels caught him and brought him safely down to the ground. Certainly this would have given Jesus some great attention and great fame. But Jesus denounces that idea and says it is putting God to the test. And that means that we should not subject ourselves to unnecessary dangers as well. Our earthly weakness does not depart from us just because we become Christians. But his angels will carry us. We are still weak and helpless before the temptations of this world. But in the end, we will all be lifted up and carried over the shattered corpse of Satan to live a life which God has waiting for us in heaven. And finally, I have a note here that says to look at the last three verses and note that there are quotation marks around them. Then when I read this morning in the LSB, there are no quotation marks there. But there are quotation marks in my Bible. When there are quotation marks around something, it means someone is speaking to us. And indeed, this is God speaking to us, pledging to care for us, his faithful people. And so I read the last three verses. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. God is speaking to us. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is Jesus speaking to us today through this song. He says, because you love me, I will deliver you from the difficult times in this world. I will protect you because you know and confess my name. When you pray, I will answer your prayers. And I will be with you in the times and the trials and the difficulties of this world. And finally, he says, I will save you. And I will take you from this broken world to live with me in heaven for all eternity. Thus says the Lord.